blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed is the man that doth not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that will bring forth her fruits in due season, whose leaf shall not fade. So whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Blessed is the man that doth not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that will bring forth her fruits in due season, whose leaf shall not fade. So whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed shall it be when men revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you for my sake falsely. Blessed is the man that doth not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be satisfied. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men hate you, and when they separate you, and revile you, and put out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and be glad, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For after this manner their fathers did to the prophets.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, STV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, too. The Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim friends, I'm an infidel that Allah warned you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com, also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the left side is Bradley's show from yesterday. So if you missed that, you can catch that up until 3 o'clock this afternoon, at which time I'll be taking over for him, Lord willing. He's going to be, I think they're having a wake for our friend, Lisa Hansen, her family, and the loss of her husband. So he's going to be away at that. So I'll be filling in for him then. So Lord willing, I'll see you guys at 3. Right side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon, bottom right-hand corner of that video. And if you click on that, that'll take you over into the chat over on Rumble, where we've got a lot of friends over there. So good morning, guys. Good to see you. And while you're there, please subscribe to that channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. And let's see, dlive.tv at The Sons of Liberty, as well as some of our friends on our highly censored Facebook pages. Good morning to you guys, too. And yes, Jennifer, I am doing well. We had just a little dusting of snow. It was like not much of nothing yesterday, and they were hyping it up for ice and all this other. Well, thank God we didn't have any of the bad stuff. But it is rather chilly this morning. The house was about 60 degrees when I got up, so took the dog out, and then we came in and got some kerosene heat going. So we're going to try to knock the chill off of that this morning. But it feels great now because I'm standing up and we're doing radio and all this other. If you guys would like to help keep us out there, you're saying, how can we support you besides coming in, praying for us and things of that nature? We do have some new dates set up for Bradley to speak. He just got through speaking down in Florida over the past weekend. And we also do radio and internet as well. So if you'd like to help us, there's a donate button at the top of sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can click on that and make a one-time donation, or you can partner with us monthly as a son or daughter of liberty. And guys, we do appreciate your support very, very much. Thank you for that. All right. Let's see. I know. Tim, you're just picking on Trump and this. No, I really want to bring a lesson here that the people can hopefully see. Maybe the Lord would use it to open our eyes. I got to tell you, I was listening some to Bradley yesterday and get to hear the whole thing. But he was just talking about how the light is being dimmed in America, whereby men see, whereby they see rightly. You know, I pray with my son each morning as he gets ready to go out to work. And one of the things I pray is, Lord, help him to walk in the light of your word. You know, the Bible says that your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And David talks about hiding the word in his heart, that he won't sin against God. And so this isn't a personality issue for me. It's not a thing of of trying to tear somebody down. Listen, some people say, well, why don't you talk about the good things and this, that, and the other? Well, we have talked about that, but here's the thing. If somebody's just doing their duty, we go back to Paul. Paul says, if I just preach the gospel, that's my duty. That's just the duty that I have as a soldier of Jesus Christ. There's no praise for me doing that. I'm obligated to do that. When a man takes on a job, when he goes to work for somebody, he says, I will do this in return for you doing this for me. Right? So he's not really praised because he does the job. Now, the employer may come along and say, wow, I'm really impressed because you went above and beyond what I asked. It looked, you know, looks great, or you did a great job or something like that. That may be one thing. It's when the guy doesn't do what he's supposed to do, or he does things he's not supposed to do. That's where the problem comes in. And I don't know why people find this hard to understand, but some people find that hard to understand. You and I, we preach the gospel. That's our duty to do. We have a duty to do that. We go above and beyond that. That's what God has created us for, right? He's created us for that. New creations in Christ, by the way, not of the old creation, but of the new, of the heavenly realm, not of the earthly realm. So you guys have seen what has come out. Personally, I'm going to show you in just a second that the father of the Constitution would have disagreed with President Trump over this congestion pricing thing. Sounds to me like that's a state issue. Look, I don't care for a lot of the New York City politicians. I don't. But it sounds like it's a state issue, not a federal issue. And so we had him put out this, I don't know if this is a tweet or if this is one of those social media, Truth Social or whatever the thing is. He said, congestion pricing is dead. Manhattan and all of New York is saved. See, he's the savior. He's a self-proclaimed savior. He's a con man, but he's the self-proclaimed savior. Long live the king. And then images were posted, and not just by him, but by the White House. This is from the White House on X, Elon Musk's thing. Same thing. And then they put an image that's supposed to look like Time Magazine, but it's called Trump, Long Live the King. And you go, well, Tim, you just don't like Trump. I'm just telling you, it has nothing to do with the personality. Well, actually, you can see something of the personality. You can see that. But the issue is what he's portraying himself as. And we got into a thing yesterday on, you know, Lynn Taylor, the Common Core Diva. We got into it on her Facebook page with people trying to justify this stuff. Oh, don't you like government shrinking? Well, sure I do. If it's done for the right reason and it's done properly, yeah. But notice where it's not being shrunk. Notice what's being left off. Let me point this out so everybody gets exactly where the Sons of Liberty are, because I know Brad, this is Bradley's heart too. For all of the stuff being done, where are the arrests and the prosecutions of those who did it? They're not even on the table, are they? They're not even talking about that. And because they're not going to bring justice, they're going to allow the same kinds of people right back in. All you people cheering this on, it's going to be very short-lived if you don't bring justice. And that is the one thing the Trump administration is leaving off. I mean, they're going full-bore tyrant. I'm going to show you some of the stuff, even from Donald Trump's own mouth, you're going to hear it, about how he says, well, the Constitution just gives him, you know, carte blanche. He can just do whatever he wants to do. Oh, well, he's just saying that, Tim. Okay, you keep believing that stuff, and we'll see. This is a, before I play that, let me play this for you. This is from the 10th Amendment Center, and this is just dealing with, you know, we talk about using the Bible and the Constitution. Well, this is pointing back to the unconstitutionality of what he's pushing there for the toll road. I don't really care for the toll roads. I don't really think we need government doing them. I think it makes it, it seems to make it quicker. It seems to make it more efficient. We all know it's not. They're wasteful spending in road building big time. And if you don't believe me, Every next time you go through one of those areas where they're working on the road, see how many guys are standing around. Yeah, it's wasteful spending. Okay. This is from the 10th Amendment Center, and this is pointing back to James Madison, the father of the, he's referred to as the father of the Constitution. This is what he had to say about infrastructure spending. Okay. This is what he had to say about infrastructure spending. There's been a lot of talk of that, very little actually done for infrastructure. But he got a bill that he thought, well, you know what? I kind of like what it says, but it's unconstitutional, so no thank you. This is from the 10th Amendment Center. Take a listen to this.
Did you know the federal government shouldn't even be funding infrastructure? It might sound shocking, but it's true. In fact, James Madison actually vetoed a public works bill funding infrastructure in 1817, calling it unconstitutional. The bill was for constructing roads and canals and improving the navigation of watercourses in order to facilitate, promote, and give security to internal commerce among the several states. Virtually every American today would say that this is exactly what the feds should be doing, but the father of the Constitution disagreed. Madison said, "The legislative powers vested in Congress are specified and enumerated, and it does not appear that the power proposed to be exercised by the bill is among the enumerated powers, or that it falls by any just interpretation with the power to make laws necessary and proper for carrying into execution those or other powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States." The amazing thing is that Madison actually favored the bill personally, but he vetoed it anyway because he put the Constitution above his personal policy preferences. That's the kind of integrity you should never count on from Washington, D.C. today.
That's right. All right, you get the idea there. Let me click that off so we got that done. You get the idea. Here's the man who's considered the father of the Constitution. Even though he likes the sound of the bill, you know, he's got a personal preference toward it. He's like, no. I said I would uphold this, so I'm not going to support that because it's not constitutional. Pretty simple, right? It would be great if we had men who understood that again, that had actually read through the Constitution, had actually understood what their role is as a representative or as a senator or as a president or as a judge. I mean, we got judges taking on cases, like the Supreme Court taking on cases they have no business taking on. It's ridiculous. It doesn't really fall within their purview. So here, some people are saying, well, these things are being done by the Trump administration. They got to be done, this, that, and the other, and they'll jump on the illegal immigration thing. I've already told you that's a whole ruse that they've got going on. 2 weeks or 3 weeks into it or whatever, they had deported 11,000, right? Out of how many million? 15 million? They got to be doing that like every day if they're going to keep a promise. But you can rest assured that's going to fade off into the distance too. And then they took the ice Barbie, that's what they were calling Kristi Noem, you know, putting the cowboy hat on her, you know, making her look like the rugged ranch woman and putting the out all of this stuff. I cleaned out all this stuff. Everything's been running smooth up until yesterday morning with it. I don't even think I've added anything. I guess I'm going to have to, if I'm going to do the show this afternoon, I'm going to have to break out the laptop again and struggle with that. In any case, whatever, we'll just make the best of it. Okay. We'll make the best of what we got. I don't remember exactly where I was because all of a sudden everything just froze up. But in any case, we did play this from the 10th Amendment Center. By the way, I'll have in the archive this issue on infrastructure where they kind of lay out a lot of stuff that's there. But in any case, I don't know where the thing that I had was. All right, let's see if we can get this one. All right, now this one is just a reminder to people of things of what Donald Trump said, not what I've said, not what Bradley, this is what he has said about his supposed authority under the Constitution as president. Take a listen to this.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president.
You hear that?
But I don't even talk about that. It's a thing called Article 2. Nobody ever mentions Article 2.
More importantly, Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want. Article 2 would have allowed me to fire him.
So it sounds
but
like
I wasn't going to fire. You know why? Because I watched Richard Nixon go around firing everybody, and that didn't work out too well. So, very simply, Article 2 would allow me to do.
I could have done anything I wanted. I don't even bring it up, because we don't even get there. Absolutely, I have Article 2.
It gives me all of these rights at a level that nobody has ever seen before. We don't even talk about Article 2. So, they rule...
Oh, we talk about Article 2. We talked about Article 2 just the other day. We talked about Article 2. Does Article 2 give any president, no matter who's in office, does it give them the authority to do whatever they want to do? No. It's supposed to limit them. Now, the people have to enforce it. The Constitution doesn't enforce itself no more than the Bible enforces itself. It just doesn't do that. It takes the people to enforce it, or in the case of the scriptures, it either is the people are going to enforce God's law, or God's going to come in and enforce it. And when he does it, it's a judgment on the people. I mean, we've been under it for some time, and people still fail to repent. And it's evident in their idolatries that they engage into, whether it's sports or whether it's Hollywood actors or musicians or politicians. They just keep right on in it. But here he is. That's out of his own mouth. He doesn't know what Article 2 says. He doesn't know. Because it's a limitation. This is the problem I have with everybody saying, he's the most powerful man in the world. No, he's supposed to be one of the most limited men in the world in that office. Article 2 wouldn't even fill up a page in my pocket constitution. Or just over a page, and that's in a page that's what, 5 or 6 inches tall, 2 or 3 inches wide. It's not a bunch that's in there of Article 2. And his primary job is to enforce the law, not to make up new laws, not to create policy that's in opposition to law, like this thing up in New York, and all of that. That's not what he's to do. But again, pushing this image, and people want to blow it off and say, well, he's trolling people. Well, you know, you can buy that if that's what you want to buy. I think he's giving you indication of what he's going to do. He also wanted to praise his poll numbers. This was out today, you know, saying he was 71-69. Boy, we've never seen numbers like that before. Yeah, I've seen numbers like that before. Yeah, when the new guy comes in, there's the honeymoon period, isn't there? Where guys have their high poll numbers, and then they start doing things, and they start coming down. And apparently, the you know, polls are whatever. They're like elbows, right? So, when all of this stuff has gone on...
I now recognize...
We're going to recognize this guy. This is some of the stuff that we were dealing with over on Lynn's page. I'm going to do this, and then we're going to draw the parallel here to the scriptures and learn lessons from kings of the scriptures. Okay? All of this, and by the way, all of this is a Bible lesson. It's to draw what's going on and to take the scripture and shine the light on it. But this is a lot of people saying, oh, don't you care for shrinking government? See, they always pose the question as from their viewpoint of what's going on. Of course, I'm for shrinking government. I would like to shrink it into non-existence. I'm talking about man's government, his establishment of stuff that's always corrupt. It's just always corrupt. I'd like to shrink it into non-existence. I'd love for men just to govern themselves. We might have a judge here or there that we could call upon if we can't settle things between ourselves. But otherwise, we don't need all this monstrosity that wants to enslave us, wants to rob us of our livelihood. But we don't need all that. And this is one guy, and you go, well, he's a Democrat. See, I'm going to tell you, this is what they've done. They've taken, and I've fallen for it too in times past. I have. I confess I have. But they get you looking at what the guy has on his jersey more than what he's presenting. And I'll guarantee you, you'll find a lot of these Democrats over at Discover the Networks, and you'll see that they have communist ties. There's no question in my mind about that. That does not mean that what this guy right here is pointing out is not true. Now, this is Representative Kasar. And this is during a hearing. And I want you to listen to these firings of inspector generals. Okay? And what you're going to quickly begin to see is a lot of these firings and things that are taking place are retribution. It's retribution for having, for daring to investigate people like Donald Trump or people like Elon Musk. That's why you're, that's why he's being given free rein. There's an investigation into him, and they went in and got rid of him. Listen to this back and forth here.
The gentleman from Texas, Mr. Kasar.
This subcommittee is supposedly about looking into waste, fraud, and abuse. So I'd like to start talking about independent inspector generals who are supposed to be looking into waste, fraud, and abuse. Mr. Talkov, do you know how many inspector generals at agencies that were investigating Elon Musk's companies have been fired by the Trump-Musk administration?
No.
It is 5. Ms. Royal, the inspector general of the Department of Labor had 17 open investigations into Tesla and SpaceX. Do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
No.
They fired him, and I think y'all know. Mr. Whitson, the inspector general of the Department of Transportation was investigating Tesla. Do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
No.
They were fired. The Department of Defense's inspector general was looking into SpaceX. Mr. Hedler, do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
All right, let me pause this just a second. He keeps calling it, I thought it was the Trump-Vance administration. He keeps calling it the Trump-Musk administration. I mean, where's old Vance at in all these? All the pictures now you see, it's Musk standing there with Trump at the, in the Oval Office. But this guy keeps making that reference, Trump-Musk administration.
I believe he was fired.
Thank you. I think everybody on the panel knows what the answer to these questions were. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Inspector General was investigating Musk's Neuralink. Mr. Talkov, now I'll ask you again under oath, do you know what Mr. Trump did to that inspector general that was looking into one of Musk's companies?
No.
He was fired. The inspector general at the EPA was repeatedly taking on Tesla. Mr. Hedler, since it seems that you're answering the questions that everyone knows the answer to, do you know what the Trump-Musk administration did to that inspector general?
I believe he was also fired.
Also fired. At least 5 inspector generals that were looking into Elon Musk's companies were fired by the Trump-Musk administration. These inspector generals, who are independent, protected by law, they are the people that find the waste, fraud, and abuse and found many of the cases of waste, fraud, and abuse that have been brought up today, fired because they were looking into Elon Musk. At the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, which is supposed to protect workers from getting their unions busted.
Now, let me pause again here. Did you hear what the guy just said? Many of the things that Trump and Musk are touting that they've discovered and they found and they've cut out, that was found by the guys that they fired. So in essence, they're taking credit for the work that these guys they fired or engaged. And look, I'm not trying to take up necessarily for the inspector generals in the sense, because all of these agencies he's named, I wish all of them were gone. But that's not going to happen. And again, you see what's being left in place. The FBI's left in place, isn't it? They're going to have their guy Kash Patel come in. They're going to justify the FBI continuing to be there, along with some other agencies that they're going to utilize.
By folks like Elon Musk, made functionally broken by the so-called Department of Government Efficiency that really is the Department of Government Efficiency for Elon Musk, not for you. They are trying to shut down the Department of Education, the Department of Labor. You know what Elon Musk doesn't seem to be looking into? His own contracts. Again, I'll ask you, Mr. Talkov, do you know how much money a day Mr. Musk will receive from the federal government for his contracts?
No.
The answer is $8 million a day. Just last year, Elon Musk was promised $3 billion from close to 100 contracts with the federal government. Ms. Royal, do you know how much the average person in this country who survives on Social Security, one of our seniors who's worked their entire life, about how much they have to survive on a day?
I do not.
$65 a day. We're not looking into Elon Musk's $8 million a day. This subcommittee, chaired by Marjorie Taylor Greene and the House Republicans, is looking into your grandmother's $65 a day. Let me be clear. I think we would all support taxpayer savings, look into money we might needlessly send to billionaires and big corporations, find taxpayer savings, and send it back to your hardworking family. But instead, what House Republicans and the Trump-Musk administration want to do is they want to look into your kids' lunch money, your kids' teacher's salary, into your grandparents' Social Security. They want to take that money and give it out in billionaire tax cuts, and they are talking about that in committee tomorrow.
That is what they're doing.
Tomorrow, they just released their plan. So let me be clear. When Republicans talk about government efficiency in this Congress, they're not looking into billionaires who don't pay their taxes. They're not looking into billionaires who get rich off of government contracts. They're not looking into Elon Musk firing watchdogs who are supposed to keep him accountable. They're looking at cutting your public schools. They're going straight for your Social Security. They're coming straight for cancer research. They're coming straight for the Department of Education. They're not looking at big tech. They're not looking at big pharma because those people fund their campaigns.
Come on, that part's true.
We're serious about rooting out waste from our federal government. Then today's whole hearing would be about how Musk and Donald Trump are firing the independent watchdogs who've done this work for decades. Instead, my Republican colleagues' actual goal on this committee is to distract from Trump and from Musk's corrupt war on accountability. This will not be a subcommittee dedicated to making government efficient for everyday people. It's about helping Elon Musk and Donald Trump be as efficient as possible in robbing our government and handing out our government services to the rich. So this seems that this subcommittee is just
getting like okay, so, agency.
So what you hear there is the very things. Much of that is what Lynn and I have talked about for years. This is to benefit them. Okay, so they're going for the Department of Education. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But as Lynn has pointed out, if you don't eliminate all of the laws that have been written for the Department of Education, then when it's dissolved, where do those go? Where do those pretended authorities, because the federal government had no authority and still has no authority over education? That public schools can go the way of where I'm talking about man's governments. They, as far as I'm concerned, they can be gone too. Stop making it so hard. And this guy, look, what he's saying here is right, but I'll guarantee you he's probably backed a lot of the same kind of wasteful, unconstitutional spending on some of these things he's talking about are unconstitutional. So I'm not going to give him a pass either. But he's right in saying this is why you got to pay attention to who he brings into his cabinet. And they are billionaires. $8 million a day, that's a lot of money. And yet people tell me, oh, that Trump and Elon aren't taking a paycheck. Why take a paycheck for a couple hundred thousand dollars or whatever when you're getting $8 million a day? Why take a paycheck? Then it's not hard to understand. Still feeding off the government teat, which is the people. And this is how they've set themselves up. And then they set themselves up as a good guy, right? But more than anything else, you know, on this issue of Trump, I had the other video, and I don't know why. I thought I had thrown this in with my article, but you guys remember where Trump was out and he was saying, "I am the chosen one." I mean, it was blasphemous. It was very lighthearted. And that's what blasphemy is to take God lightly, is to take the things of God lightly. And that's what we've seen. You know, there was somebody else who did that. In fact, there are several of these guys. If we go over into the book of Acts chapter 12, we read about Herod. And we read right at the beginning of that chapter that Herod had stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And notice this. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So they captured Peter and they threw him in jail. And they were going to try to kill him. But the Bible says an angel of the Lord came upon them. He got the chains off of him, walked him out of the prison. The people had been praying for Peter in the house. And he shows up at the house and they don't believe he's at the door. They had so much faith that God would release him, they didn't believe he was at the door. It was just unbelievable for them. And so he comes in. And then Herod finds out about it. And Herod's all upset. Verse 19, here's where we're at. This is from, again, the Geneva Bible. And when Herod had sought for him, this Peter, and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded them to be led to be punished. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and their abode. Then Herod was angry with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came all with one accord unto him and persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, and they desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's land. And then this is what happened. And upon a day appointed, Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel and sat on the judgment seat and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout saying, the voice of God and not of man. I'm amazed at how many professed Christians are silent in the face of a man who's tweeted out things like he's the second coming of God. He's the king of Jerusalem, who takes on the mantle of Messiah that some of these Jews who say they are Jews, but they're not, tell him that he is. I'm utterly amazed when he acts in a lawless fashion and professed Christians are unwilling to call it out. And you go, well, we should be loving one another. Well, we should. Nobody's saying we shouldn't love one another. But let me ask you something. And I know some people have a hard time with this. They can't distinguish the two things. They think if somebody is harsh about something that's righteous, that somehow that's ungodly. That's not true. What were the prophets doing? What were the prophets of the Old Testament doing? They were calling out the wickedness and the lawlessness of the kings, weren't they? And weren't they calling out the wickedness and lawlessness of the priests? And weren't they calling out the wickedness and lawlessness of the people? Yes, they were. Because God was showing it to them for what it was. And I'm sure there were people there saying, you know, Elijah, you just need to pray for King Ahab. You just need to pray for him. You need to be quiet. You're causing division here. No. He was standing up. The one who had caused division was the king. Remember how King Ahab, he said, you're the troubler of Israel. And the prophet looked at him and said, no, I'm not troubling Israel. That's you. You're the one who's violated the law that Israel is bound by in her covenant. And if you want to look at the United States, you can call it Dr. North used to call our first Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, he used to call that like a halfway covenant. I want to see if we can get Michael Wagner on maybe to talk about the Solemn League and Covenant. Many years ago, you guys, if you were on the internet in the 90s and early 2000s, you probably remember seeing all over the place the Puritan hard drives. You guys remember that? Well, Michael, I think it was Michael and his brother were the ones who created that. And they had a little book. He sent it to me. It was called, you know, the Solemn League and Covenant. And it was a history on that. This is just a little small read. But it was talking about how all the Western countries had broken that covenant. And everything that we see that's come after that has been part of the consequences of breaking that covenant. And that's where we've been. But here's Herod. He's up there talking. And the people say, the voice of God and not of man. And you see some of the weird stuff. We've shown you some of the videos from like CPAC, the little golden idol of Trump. And we see the people, you know, bowing down to it and doing all this stuff. Then you see the weird stuff about praying to angels and all that nonsense. All of that is coming from the same place. It's a place of disobedience. It's a place of lawlessness. But it didn't end well for Herod when he didn't correct the people. And that's something, too, when Wayne Allyn Root tweeted that thing out about Trump being like the second coming of God, the king of Jerusalem, all this kind of stuff, Trump didn't say, wait a minute. No, I'm not any of that. He didn't correct the record at all. He retweeted it and said, wow, thank you. Because that's what he thinks he is. For Herod, as soon as the people said that and he didn't correct them, verse 23 of Acts chapter 12, but immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory unto God, so that he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost, and the word of God grew and multiplied. Wow. I'm sure some people would say, well, I think the Lord was a little harsh on that. I'm sure there's people out there that think that. Now, when you put your hands on God's glory, you're exalting yourself. You're becoming just like your father, the devil. Isn't that what he did? I'll be like the Most High. I'll ascend to the hills in the north. I'll do what I want. And yet he was cast down. What about when we go over into the book of Daniel? I mean, this one, I just want to read the story because I'm becoming more and more aware that there are people in America who've never heard any of this, which is, it's a shame to us. I remember years ago, probably 2 or 3 years after I became a believer, I remember hearing testimonies from people out of Ohio and Indiana and Illinois and stuff like that saying, I never heard the gospel. I'm 30 or 40 years old. I've never heard the gospel. I'm like, how can that be? How can that be here in the United States of America? Knowing our history, how is it that people have not heard the gospel? I'll tell you. One, it hasn't been being preached from the pulpits. What's been given is little self-help things, a little bit of psychology. And I'm not saying that some of those don't fit in with certain things that we see in the scriptures, but for the most part, it is very humanistic. It doesn't call men to Christ. It doesn't say, look to Christ, look to the sacrifice given for sin. It doesn't say, look to him to deliver you from the things that you're bound by. And they certainly aren't given a gospel that puts man at the mercy of God. No, no, no. They would take Jonathan Edwards' old sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and they would say, God in the hands of angry sinners. That would be their message. It's not one that the law has condemned sinners, that they stand condemned already, and they need to shut their mouth and listen to the word of God and submit themselves to it. And the only way they can do that is if the Lord intervenes and makes that word alive in their hearts. He raises them from the dead and gives them new life. They don't hear that. And some who hear it want to balk at it. Absolutely incredible. But here's what we read in Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to just read this for people who've never heard this story. I, Nebuchadnezzar, being at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace, saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of mine head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree that they should bring all the wise men of Babel before me, and that they might declare unto me the interpretation of the dream. So came the enchanters, the astrologians, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers to whom I told the dream, but they could not show me the interpretation thereof. Till at last Daniel came before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, which hath the spirit of the holy gods in him. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the enchanters, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, that's how he was looking at it, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen in the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed, and behold, I saw a tree in the midst of the earth, and height thereof was great. Remember, he had already had one. And it was of that image, right? And of the different metals. You can read that in Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel was able to come in and not only tell him the dream, but tell him the interpretation of the dream. about the kingdoms that were to come, and he was to be the first one, the head of gold. Now he's got another vision, right? So he says, a great tree and strong, and the height thereof reacheth unto heaven, and the sight thereof of the ends of all the earth. And the boughs thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. It was made a shadow under it for the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven dwell in the boughs thereof, and all flesh fed of it. And I saw in the vision of mine head upon my bed, and behold, a watchman and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said, thus hew down the tree and break off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit, and the beasts may flee from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, and with a band of iron and brass, bind it among the grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast among the grass of the field. Let his heart be changed from man's nature, and let a beast's heart be given. What does a beast do? How does a beast act differently from a man? Well, man has been given the spirit of life. He's been given the breath of life, or as it says in the book of Genesis. He's made in the image of God. He is self-aware that he exists. He thinks, he reasons. Animals don't do that. They act purely on instinct. I know some of you guys out there think that because your dog licks your hand that they love you. They don't understand love. They understand if I lick your hand, I'm going to get petted, my belly's going to get rubbed, and I'm going to get some food. That's what they understand. They act off of instinct. And so the dream is saying, let's take away man's nature from him, and let's make him like a beast. Let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times be passed over him. The sentence is according to the decree of the watchman, according to the word of the holy ones, the demand was answered to the intent that living men may know that the Most High hath power over the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and appointeth over it the most abject among them. Well, see, Tim, right there it says, so Trump's been given the United States. Absolutely. You're not hearing me say anything different. But here's the thing. Do you look at it that way when it was given over to Joe Biden? Do you look at it that way when it was given over to Barack Hussein Obama, Satori Sabarka? Then you're inconsistent. Because God put those men into office. He gave them their usurpation of authority. He's put them in that place and they're judging. That's the issue that people aren't seeing. They're judging the people. God's using them for judgment. Now he's going to turn around and judge them too. But he put them in place to judge. And people only want to see whatever their political jersey is the one God put in. Nope. Nope. He's in control of all of that. He really is. So it goes on. It says, this is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Therefore, thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to show me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now, I want you to look at how Daniel approaches Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a very arrogant, prideful man. Remember at the beginning of this, he's looking out over all his kingdom. He's saying, look what I've done. Look at this stuff that I've done. He's full of pride. But Daniel's humble. Watch what happens. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, held his peace by the space of 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let neither the dream nor the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which was great and mighty, whose height reached into heaven, and the sight thereof throughout all the world, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under the which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven did sit. It is thou, O king, that art great and mighty, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watchman and a holy one that came down from heaven and said, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, and with a band of iron and brass bind it among the grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. And that did happen. He says, this is the interpretation, O king, and it is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king. Those were hard words for Daniel to tell the king. Remember, Daniel has been a captive. He's been, God exalted him because of his obedience to him. But he's a captive. He's a stranger in a strange land. He's a captive here. Okay? And then he tells him what it's going to be. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place, or thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as the oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High beareth rule over the kingdom of men, and that includes Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Whereas they said that one should leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall remain unto thee. After that thou shalt know that the heavens have the rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins. Do you see that? What did he call Nebuchadnezzar to? Repentance. Yep, he called him to repentance. Let my counsel be acceptable to thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by mercy towards the poor. Lo, let there be a healing of thine error. O king, you're acting wickedly here. Turn away from that. Do what is right and what is just and show mercy. That's his counsel to him. And he says, all these things shall come upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked into the royal palace of Babel, and the king spake and said, Is not this great Babel that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He did not humble himself at all. He just went ahead and kept exalting himself, didn't he? Talking about himself. Does that sound familiar to anyone that you hear today? Yeah. Maybe it's even you who are listening. Verse 28. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came down from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee be it spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as the oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High beareth rule over the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. And the very same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as the oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown as eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of these days, listen to what happened. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding was restored. He went from beast back to the nature of man. And he says, his understanding was restored unto me, and I gave thanks unto the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose power is an everlasting power, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth. This is what happens when God finds a man. This is what happened when God finds a man, when he searches him out and he saves him. His entire speech, his outlook begins to change. Why? Because he's a new creation in Christ. And he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are repute. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. I gave thanks unto the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose power is an everlasting power. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And according to his will, he worketh in the army of heaven and in the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? That's Paul's argument in Romans 9, by the way. And at the same time was my understanding restored unto me, and I returned to the honor of my kingdom. My glory and my beauty was restored unto me, and my counselors and my princes sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and my glory was augmented toward me. Now listen to what he says. Now therefore I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and magnify who? His previous God? Marduk? Is that who he's praising? He praises the King of heaven, whose works are all truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abuse, or he is able to, or excuse me, abase, not abuse, abase. He is able to humble them. Isn't that exactly what Scripture teaches us? Sure it is. We read this over in the book of James. We're going to run out of time here. We'll probably go over just a little bit. But we read this in the book of James. Chapter 4. From whence are wars and contentions among you? He's talking to the believers. Are they not hence even of your pleasures or your lusts that fight in your members in your own body? Well, why do you get in the tussles with each other? Because of your own lusts. Ye lust and have not, ye envy and desire immoderately, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war and get nothing because ye ask not. And ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may lay the same on your own lust or your pleasures. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the enmity of the world is the enmity of God? We're going to have to cut off here for just a second. We'll continue over on sonsoflibertymedia.com if you want to join us over there, beforeitsnews.com, or on Rumble, Sons of Liberty Radio Live. And then, Lord willing, I'll see you guys in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. And yeah, we'll see you then, Lord willing. Otherwise, join us online. All right, want to welcome everybody over from the radio who's coming over. Let me just hit this real quick, and then we'll be done. He said, "Whosoever," this is verse 4, "whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world maketh himself the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth after envy?" And this is the point. "But the Scripture offereth more grace, and therefore saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purge your hearts, ye double-minded." James quotes from the Old Testament, God gives grace to the humble, doesn't he? But he opposes the proud. And again, we're taught in this society to talk about our pride. We're proud of our children. We're proud of our house. We're proud of our job. We're proud of whatever. God opposes that. He opposes every bit of, "Oh, Tim, you're in a tempest in a teapot. That's not a big deal that people are saying that." Well, the Scripture says it's a big deal. You just got through seeing Herod talking about his pride. You got through seeing Nebuchadnezzar speaking in pride. And that's why they were judged. If God does that with the king, what do you think he does to those who aren't kings? He deals with them the same way, because he's a just judge. He's not like man. He can't be bribed. Can't be bought off. He's a just judge. "Well, what do I do, Tim? You said I'm arrogant? Okay, I recognize that. What am I to do?" You're to repent. You're to bow the knee to the one who gave his life on the cross for that sin of pride and all the other sins that flow from it. All of the lawlessness against the Lord. You know, when David confessed his sin, I'm sure he probably went to Bathsheba. There was probably time for that. Well, I'm speculating because the Scripture doesn't say it, but I'm sure he probably went to her and said, "We shouldn't have done that." But when he's confessing his sin to the Lord, what does he say? "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Why? Because the sin is a violation of law. Whose law? God's law. He's the King of heaven that Nebuchadnezzar is referencing here. Friend, you're in the same boat. God's law applies to you too. It's not independent of you. It applies to you too. See, everybody thought I was just going to go off on the politicians. Well, we got some of that. But this is for the people. If the people would but repent. You know, what's interesting to me is a lot of people will quote 2 Chronicles. And they'll recite that. I remember going down here to Greenville. And me and a friend went down here when Ted Cruz was down here. And the dude from Duck Dynasty was down there. And we went in the room. And Ted Cruz made some comments. And the Robinson guy made some comments. And to me, it was all political. The room was dead. When I'm not talking about people weren't moving around and talking, I'm talking about it was dead. There was no life in that room at all. You know what I'm saying? There was no life in it. It was just a dead room. And I looked at my friend and I said, "Do you notice that?" He goes, "Yeah, I do." And Ted Cruz started quoting Chronicles. And all of a sudden, the whole room joined in and started quoting it. And it was just as dead as it could be. I'm telling you, I don't know how to explain it except it was dead. There was no spirit to that at all. But again, think about what that passage says. If my people, not the world, but if my people will humble themselves, not pride, not arrogance, not lift themselves up. If they will humble themselves, and this is the catch, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, his people, those who name the name of Christ, if they will turn from their wicked ways, not the world from its, but God's people from theirs, then they'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive their sin, and he'll heal their land. Here's the sad part. There are many preachers today who won't call people away, the people who name the name of Christ, they won't call them away from their wickedness. They won't call them away from their sin. In fact, they lead them towards more sin. This is what we were talking about with Paula White. They lead them towards more sin. They don't. They're like what Peter said. They promise them liberty, but they themselves are the slaves of corruption. Neither Bradley nor I bring up this stuff with any of this politics or any of this stuff to sit here and try to beat up people. That's not the issue. It's to expose what's going on so that God's people can deal with it. Because in our society, it's been set up so that the people are the ones to bring justice. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 and 16. I don't know how many times I can say it. You are the law. This nonsense about you're taking the law in your own hands, the law is in the hands of the people. The enforcement of the law is in the hands of the people. It's not in the boys in blue. It isn't. It isn't necessarily in the guys in D.C. or your state government. It's in the hands of the people. Go back and read your Bible. Do they have some kind of special police force that was appointed to carry out judgment? Nope, it was the people. Go read the punishments where there was a capital crime. Who was to carry it out? The people. And you don't read a whole bunch about a whole lot of stonings and stuff like that. You do read it, though, when Israel was defeated at Ai, didn't you? Achan and his family were taken because of his disobedience. His whole family were taken. And the people rose up and stoned them with stones until they were dead. The people brought the justice. Don't let the world tell you that the law is not in your hands. It is. In fact, even if you want to look to man's document of the Constitution, it's in the people's hands to carry out. The president is to make sure that that law is faithfully executed. And that's why he can call up the militia. That's why he can call up the able-bodied men to do that. But let me ask you, let's bring it down to us. Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? Or are you still wagging your tongue, trying to justify your sin, trying to justify your wickedness, trying to justify your ungodliness? Because if you're doing that, you're not going to shut your mouth and hear the gospel. You're just not going to do it. And God's going to harden your heart because you won't do it. You're already hardening your heart towards him. He's going to harden your heart lest he give you grace and stop your mouth and open your eyes and give you a new mind and a new understanding and a right spirit within you and a new heart. He's the one who does that. How do I get that, Tim? I can only tell you to humble yourself before God, to cry out for him for mercy, to cry out that he might give to you his Holy Spirit. And Jesus said as much. He said, you know, if a son asks the father for bread, is he going to give him a stone? If he asks for a piece of fish, is the dad going to give him a serpent? No. And he says, so is your heavenly Father, that those who ask him to give his spirit, he'll give them. Is that your attitude? Or are you like so many, you're just looking for the quote unquote fire insurance? You just want to escape the consequences of sin, but you don't want to leave your sin. The Bible doesn't know anything about that. It calls you to leave your sin, leave your lawlessness, leave your old ways, put them behind you, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said on Sunday, you must be born again. You must be born from above by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, if the people who named the name of Christ would actually turn from their wicked ways and seek the Lord, we would see something amazing that no one could deny. No one could deny it was the hand of the Lord in healing our land. I really do believe that. But the problem is not the world. The problem is with those who name the name of Christ. Do you name the name of Christ? Then depart from evil. That's what the Bible says. Those who name the name of Christ should depart from evil. Do you know Christ? If you don't, you need to seek after him. Well, but Tim, you just said that God does all that. If you're seeking after him, the command is to seek after him. The fact that you lack the ability to do that is not my problem, because I lacked it too. But again, God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. This is why you can see, even in the dealing with wicked kings, there is this call to humility. Daniel, you know, speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, take my counsel. Take my counsel of what I'm saying. Let's end with that. Going back to Daniel chapter 4. Here's what he says. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. In other words, cut off your lawlessness, and in its place put justice. And thine iniquities by mercy to the poor. Quit oppressing the poor, and show them mercy. Lo, let there be a healing of thine error. You've got it all backwards, Nebuchadnezzar, because you're full of pride. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and you'll find mercy. That is the message. Humble yourself before God and submit yourself to his King, the Lord Jesus. You'll have mercy. Don't do that, and you'll have judgment. You'll continue to have judgment because you stand condemned. In Christ, there is salvation. There's real salvation from your sin. And I'm not talking about religious stuff. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about those things that beset you every single day of your life that you're enslaved to. You're not at liberty. You're enslaved by them. He can set you free. Submit yourself unto God and know his mercy. Guys, we'll be back with you, Lord willing, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll talk to you then.